John Walden here. We're studying in Philippians, the first chapter. The last verse we had was verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How wonderful if this were true of all believers. A single object. God needs and wants completely dedicated disciples. He wants people who live only for Christ, who are not living to make money, not living to have pleasure, not living to become famous, but who are living to glorify and please the Lord Jesus. Matthew Henry wrote, I count that man a Christian indeed, who is neither ashamed of the gospel nor ashamed to the gospel. Then he said, to die is gain. Literally, to die is more. Of Christ. Happy is the Christian who is living in such a way that when he dies, the only change is a physical one. He simply goes into the actual presence of the Lord Jesus physically. A geographical change. For most of us, I'm afraid the change would be much more drastic than that. Now, Paul says, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. That is, this is why I live. If I stay here in this body, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know what to choose, for I am in a strait betwixt two. I'm caught between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, or the Revised Version says, which is very far better. He wanted to depart. Now, he didn't depart at this time. He didn't depart for quite some years after this. But in his last epistle, the second epistle to Timothy, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. All of us have a time of departure, and we should be desiring, as he was, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Not merely to be in heaven, but to be with Christ. To be in heaven is wonderful. But what makes heaven what it is the presence of the Lord Jesus himself, absent from the body and at home with the Lord. No wonder he says this is very far better. Nevertheless, verse 24 says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You need me here. I need to be here to help you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith. Since his only purpose in living was to please Christ and honor him, and since he could please Christ more and be of use to Christ more by staying here, he was willing to stay, even though he would much rather go home to be with the Lord. Let's be glad to be here as long as God can use us, and then let's be glad for the time to be taken home to be with him. Now, this won't be intelligible to you who are not saved. You simply don't know what I'm talking about. You can't understand how a person would welcome death, how he would be glad for the privilege of going to be with the Lord. Because if you don't know Christ, death for you would not be going to be with the Lord. Death would be the most awful thing that could ever happen to you. He said that he wanted to continue for their furtherance and joy of the faith. This is the same word we ran across in verse 12. And furtherance means to cut a road ahead. So he had two ministries, two missions, the furtherance of the gospel and the furtherance and joy of their faith. He wanted to see souls saved, and then he wanted to see them go on well for God. He wanted to preach the gospel to the unsaved. He wanted to preach the word and the teachings concerning the church and our behavior for the Lord here on earth to those who are Christians. Notice that their progress is connected with joy. When you're making real progress in the Lord's things, there's going to be joy going along with it. And so, these Christians were to have joy through faith. That is, through believing God. If you don't believe God, you're going to be a very unhappy person. If you don't believe Him about your soul's salvation, you're going to be unhappy forever. If you have trusted Him about your soul's salvation, but you can't trust Him about daily blessings and about your needs day by day, you're going to be a worried, disturbed Christian. You can't. can't be a happy Christian except through faith. It's called here the joy of faith. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Now, some Christians are glad Christians, but some Christians have fullness of joy. 7 times in the New Testament, the Lord tells us how we may have fullness of joy. It's possible for us to be exultingly happy Christians. And this comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul hoped that his coming to them and bringing the word would help them to be happier Christians. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Our conversation here is the word from which we get our word politics. And it has to do with our citizenship. We belong to heaven. We are citizens of another country. We'll run on to this again in chapter 3. And God wants us to live in such a way that he can show through us that we really belong to another country, that we are citizens of another land. He wants us to live as becometh the gospel of Christ, fitting for those who believe the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. They were not to do it because the great preacher and apostle was looking down their necks, watching what they did. They were not doing it to please Paul. They were doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. So whether he were there or not there, he wanted to hear that they were standing fast in one spirit, with one mind. Now, we not only have the unity of the Spirit, but we ought to have a unity of mind. And we see in the next chapter that this is not because you submit to my mind or I give in to your ideas, but that because we both have the mind of Christ. And this way we will be striving together for the faith of the gospel. The word strive here is the word from which we get our word athlete. Now, Christianity is not a picnic. It's a warfare. And too few Christians seem to realize this. God wants us to live for him, whatever it costs, striving together, not against each other, not competition, not trying to win people to our particular denomination. All of this is very unspiritual. God intended that all his people should be one for the faith of the gospel, the one good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Then he says, "In nothing terrified by your adversaries." The word terrified means to bolt like a horse, to panic. Don't be panicked because you have adversaries. God has told us about our adversaries. Satan is a strong adversary, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To them it is an evident token of perdition. That is, the very fact that they are your adversaries shows that they are on their way to perdition. Are you an adversary of the gospel? Am I talking to somebody just now who is against the gospel? This is an evident token of your perdition. But we who are being persecuted for the sake of Christ, this is an evident token of our salvation and that of God. We know that God is going to save us out of this very world where we're persecuted. Now, we are saved as to our souls. We have been saved from the wrath to come. We are being saved from the power of this present world, and we are going to be saved as to our bodies when we're taken out of this world, and that may be sooner than any of us think. The Lord Jesus is certainly coming back. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, that is, for his sake, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's a wonderful privilege to be given to believe on him, to be given eternal life, to be given the blessings of salvation and the forgiveness of sin. But it's also a wonderful blessing to be permitted to suffer for his sake. For you see, those who suffer with him are going to reign with him. Those of us who live for the Lord in this present day are going to share with him in the glories of his coming kingdom. And this is given to you on the behalf of Christ. If you have received Christ as your Savior, you should be most happy for the opportunity of sharing the rejection of our Lord Jesus. He's coming back one of these days, and he's going to reward generously all that is done because we suffered for his name's sake, because we live for him. I mentioned in our last talk together that the same reward is offered in the book of James to those who live for the Lord as is offered in the book of the Revelation for those who die for the Lord. Look it up for yourself. The crown of life is offered to both. And if you and I live for the Lord Jesus, one of these days he's going to reward most generously those who have taken a stand for him. Now in doing this, he says we have the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. In other words, you are sharing in the same suffering which I suffer. You are sharing in the rejection of the Lord Jesus. Now, we would all think it to be a great honor to be imprisoned for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Well, it's just as great an honor to be reviled for the name's sake of the Lord Jesus. In fact, I think sometimes it's more difficult to be laughed at than it is to be mistreated physically. Of course, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in parts of the world where Christianity is forbidden, are suffering physically for the Lord Jesus. But all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you're living for the Lord, you can expect to suffer for the Lord. Now, he suffered for us to put our sins away. Shouldn't we be glad for the privilege of sharing just a little bit with him? Even though the word conflict here comes from the word from which we get our English word agony, even though it should mean agony, how glad we should be to suffer for Christ. When we remember how very much he suffered for us. Let's give him our thanks. Lord Jesus, we do thank thee for taking our place at the cross, for suffering for us. We thank thee that we have the forgiveness of sin. We pray that many will share this with us. Help us through a line to live for thee and to suffer for thee and to expect thy soon return. In thy own name we pray. Amen.